All right. Well, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. I know so many of us, I know in my family, like we had more turkey and more dressing, and we probably ate more carbohydrates than we ever thought was possible. I saw this funny thing on Facebook. Have you all ever seen the movie Finding Dory, Finding Nemo, Finding Dory? Dory is like that fish that always forgets things, and it's funny. I saw this meme that basically, it was Dory basically saying, "Wow, I can't eat another bite," and then it says, "Oh, wait, pie," you know, and I was like, man, that is so me. It's like I can't fit anything else in, but now let's, you know, so maybe that's you. We had a lot to celebrate. Maybe you watched a lot of football, or if you're not the football type, maybe you caught the Thanksgiving Day parade like my family did. I know my kids love seeing those huge balloons go by. It's just there's something about this season. There's something about this season that just causes us to put things back into perspective. You know, it really causes us, if you will, to step back and to just slow down. And there's something about that when we do, it's amazing how we can come and we can start to focus. We can come into focus as we step back from the hustle and bustle of our lives. We can actually just enjoy God. We can remember his blessings in our life and we can just enjoy life. I know that's how it was for me this week. I hope you had a restful, thankful Thanksgiving. Today we're finishing our series called Give It a Rest. We're going to get to Christmas next week, but give it a rest. And it really comes, the main scripture we've been looking at is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. When Jesus says this, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And so we've been talking about it's bigger than just like sleep rest. Like that's nice to get some sleep. But how God wants to give us a spiritual rest that comes deep from the heart of God. How God wants to give us a rest that satisfies us where we can be satisfied in him. And so I believe it's only fitting on this Thanksgiving weekend that we finish the series up by talking about resting in God's presence and giving God praise. That's what we just sang about. 10,000 reasons we have. There's even more of what God has done in our lives. We have so many reasons to be thankful. So resting in God's presence and giving the Lord our praise. The thing that I know is that when we rest in the reality of God's presence in our life, when we're aware of the presence of God and the workings of God in our life, it almost always leads us to a spirit of thanksgiving and praise. It leads to that. And so one of the things that I've learned is that as a follower of Jesus, we don't have to wait until next November when the turkey and the dressing and all the fixings come out in order to be thankful. If we're followers of Jesus, it means we really, Thanksgiving is every single day of the year. Every single day, we have so many reasons to be thankful. You know, when you think about what God is constantly doing and everything that God's put in your hands, think about your resources. Think about your family. Think about the gifts that God allows you to use that are different than your neighbor's gifts. There's just different gifts that God wants us to use to serve him. There's different opportunities that God's placed into our path. We have so many reasons to have a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. But I want to tell you that gratitude doesn't come from just getting everything we want, right? Sometimes we think, oh, if I just get all this, then I'll be happy. You guys know this. Gratitude comes from this reality. It comes from an awareness of God's presence, an awareness of God's goodness and inner workings in our lives. When we're able to recognize this, that cultivates a spirit of gratitude. And that's really the secret to finding joy in our lives and happiness. And so this week, my family and I, we took a trip to Dahlonega. How many of y'all been to Dahlonega before? You know, I remember going a long time ago. We've been to Dahlonega more than that. But I remember going to the gold mine in Dahlonega a long time ago, like on a field trip. And so I decided we're going to take our family and we're going to have the gold mine experience. And so we started driving through the town, and I started thinking, well, this doesn't look right. There's a Walmart right there. And I was like, surely this is like a tourist trap. There must be another mine. No, they've just built a Walmart right next to this old gold mine. So anyway, it was beautiful gold mine. We went inside of it, and I started to think, like, man, this is like, we're winning a parenting award right now. Like my son, who is 4, this is like, he's all about treasure and searching and mysteries and finding things. And I was like, we are winning parenting. He's going to remember this forever. He's going to be talking about this. He's going to be so happy. And so we got to this gold mine and we ended up panning for gold. And I thought he was going to love that, but it ended up being daddy panning for gold the whole time and him running around in circles, you know, but it was fun. It was good. You know, it's hard to see those little teeny bits of gold that they give you in the pan. But anyway, we got to go down into the gold mine. And it's awesome. It's really cool. There's, you see all these rock formations. There was one point where the guy held up his flashlight and he said, "Oh, look at this." And he said, "It's a bat." And Peyton wanted to know if Batman was in there, you know, in the cave. And was like, "This is good. This is working. Way to go, Mandy," you know. And so we're walking through the cave. There's all these, or the gold mine, if you will. There's all these tracks where the cars used to go through. And they talked about explosives. And I was like, man, this is like the best thing ever. Like, we're winning parenting. Like, he's going to be so grateful and so thankful. We weren't just trying to get him. We were just wanting him to be happy. So anyway, we got out of the gold mine. We got to wear the cool hats with, you know, didn't have a light on it, but it was cool still. We put our hats up. We walk in order to get to the parking lot, you have to first go through the gift shop. And if you're a parent, you know how this story goes. Like, you know, it's like, that is like, you know, the worst nightmare of a parent. You know, if you take them anywhere, it's like there's always a gift shop. They're trying to get you to buy something. And so we tried to make it through the gift shop really quickly. Like, all right, let's go to do something else. Well, Peyton started seeing bells and whistles and all these things that he wanted, right? And Kelsey did too. She's that age. She started to look around and seeing all the candy and stuff. And so Peyton started looking around and we said, okay, buddy, let's just look around for a little bit. Let's see what all is out here. And he started looking around saying, I want all of this, basically. It was like everything he wanted. And so we finally just said, okay, we're being good parents today. We said, you can have one toy, right? You can get one toy. Just pick out what you want. We'll get you one toy. And so he looked around. He picked out this cool bow and arrow set. And it's awesome. It works really well. And it was really, really cool. And I thought, you know, the whole Christmas story where it's like, you'll shoot your eye out. But I thought, it's okay. I'm being a good parent right now. God will protect us, you know. And so anyway, we ended up saying, okay, if that's what you want, buddy, we'll get that for you. So we start walking up to the register. And all of a sudden, he starts looking around at everything else. He said, well, I want that too. I was like, well, you can only get one toy, so if you want that, you can't have that. And he started pitching a four-year-old fit, you know? He started saying things that, like, I didn't think would come out until he's a teenager. He started saying stuff like, but I want it. You don't ever let me do anything. And I'm like, man, like, we just took you to Dahlonega. We just saw the treasure. We just panned for rocks. We're buying you a toy in this junk store where no, it's going to fall apart when we leave, you know? Oh, you're not going to give me anything. And started pitching a fit about it. And I started to think, like, what in the world? Like, he was so focused. He was so focused on what he wanted next that he didn't even know what to do with the blessings that we'd already put in his hand. And it's interesting because it's not just a four-year-old struggle. It's a struggle that all of us have in our lives, isn't it? Because in so many ways, like, I don't know about you, but I am always looking ahead at what's next. It's just kind of how I'm wired, but I think we're all wired like that. We're always looking ahead, anticipating, looking forward to what's next. And sometimes it's hard to be thankful for what God has given us now. And so the truth is, I believe that God wants us to have an anticipation in our lives because he's good. He wants us to be, when we come to worship, he doesn't want us to be ho-hum, hey, there's my friend, here's some coffee, let's get through this deal, let's go watch football, right? God wants us to have an anticipation of the goodness of God. Like, God is moving and active, he's alive. He wants us to anticipate that he's moving and we can't wait. Almost like if you've ever seen a good movie, you know how like you're watching the movie and there's this part where it's like, oh, what's going to happen? And you sit on the edge of your seat if it's not scary, right? You sit on the edge of your seat because you can't wait to find out what's going to happen next. God wants us to have that spirit in our relationship with him. But in order to appreciate, in order to enjoy what God is going to do next, we've got to have a spirit of gratitude where we're for really what God has already doing, what God is already doing now. And so with that spirit in mind, we're going to look at a couple story, really one whole story in a couple scriptures. The first comes from in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it's really the story of how the Israelites had the same struggle where they were always looking ahead to what was next. And they oftentimes would forget to appreciate the Lord and his blessings where they were then. And so it's interesting because Moses is going to give us this warning. It's almost like he's giving a graduation speech. Like, hey, guys, you're at one point in this journey. We're about to graduate to something better. But before we get there, let me give you a speech because I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss the Lord. And so here's the background before we read it. The Israelites, the people of God, they were in slavery for over 400 years, and God had delivered them from slavery, from Egypt. Through this, his mighty hand, he parted the Red Sea. They walk away into their newfound freedom, something that everybody said was impossible. God did it. They walk out into their newfound freedom, and they realize, we're free, we're free. But then they were in the desert, and there was no food. There was no one to provide for them and to ration their food like they did in slavery. And so they started to say, oh, no, what's going to happen to us now? They started crying out to God and saying, God, what did you do to us? Like, we had it so much better in slavery. See, discontent with where they were. And in that time, God reached out to them and he provided for them every day. Food and water, food and water. It was a blessing from God. And so at this point in the story, God has given the law or his instructions of who he is and how to live their lives with their newfound freedom. He's giving this to Moses. He's given this to Moses, and he's basically saying, look, with all these things in your life, just like us, they were surrounded by the blessings of God. They were surrounded and just swimming in the blessings of God in their life. But Moses is reminding them in this graduation speech, I don't want you to forget the Lord. Here's what it says, Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting with verse 7. It says this. It says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valley and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig leaves, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. And everybody would say, oh my, like this is like what you want. He says, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. This is like, you know, think about the gold mining. Like you can just, all you have to do is just dig down and the blessings of God are all over this place. And so what he's saying, I mean, some of us are like, man, I want to go there. Like he's saying, I'm going to take you to a place that's exceedingly better than anything you've ever imagined. God had promised this. But here's the thing. It's going to be a place where you're not going to lack anything. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be happy all the time. It just means like all you have to do is dig down and the blessings of God are right there, just as they are in our lives. But here's the caution that Moses is going to give the people in his graduation speech. Before we graduate from where we are to this next stage, I want you to remember something. Here's what he says, Deuteronomy 8, starting with verse 10. It says this. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold and your stocks and bonds, all those things, all those blessings, when they increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. Verse 17. He says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Isn't that true in our life? I mean, it's like, man, it's my salary. It's my, you know, it's my gifts. It's like, well, who gave you the health? Who gave you the ability to produce all this? And he says, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. And so the Lord is saying to Moses, the Lord is saying through Moses, I'm about to take you there. I'm about to take you from where you are to the place that you always said you wanted to be. But here's the thing. When you get there, I don't want you to forget who brought you there. I don't want you to forget the Lord on the way. In other words, before you get to that next blessing in your life, what he's saying is you've got to make up your mind right now that you're going to turn back your praise to him. It's kind of like so many times, have you noticed So many times we fall in love with the blessings in our life and we forget the blesser. And what Moses is saying, look, I don't want you to get trapped up in all the blessings. Those are good things. I want you to remember to fall in love with the blesser who gives all good things. And so here's the bottom line for today. And it's really this. Thankfulness left unexpressed is often forgotten. Thankfulness left unexpressed, when we don't express it, is often forgotten. You all know this. You know this in our lives. I mean, it's one of those things where we pray for something. Like, God, please help. Please make this happen. And God answers that request. But before we spend time to thank him and to remember that he actually answered it, we're already begging for something else, right? God wants us to ask, but there's a spirit of, if we don't thank God, then oftentimes we take for granted the blessings he's put into our hands. And so it's one of those things. The truth is, if we don't know how to be thankful with what God is doing now, how in the world will we ever be satisfied when God takes us to this new place? Because it's one of those things where Moses knew something about the people. He'd been leading them. He knew that there was a spirit in their lives that's similar to our lives. He knew that the people that he was leading, they had a tendency to let their preferences cause them to miss God's provision. In so many ways, what would happen is they would beg God, God, please give us food, any kind of food. We're starving here. And when God did, when they received it, they all of a sudden would start to look around and say, you know what, God, I don't just want food anymore. I want a different menu. Like, I want some filet mignon and some takeout Chinese. You know, I don't like this manna and this other stuff, right? And so it's interesting because quail and manna, they were on this journey. Quail and manna would just fall down from heaven. It was a complete blessing of God. And Moses says, hey, this is something your ancestors didn't even know. God just, boom, plopped it right in your life as a complete blessing. But isn't it interesting that so many times when we don't turn back our thanks to God, so many times what we once celebrated, what we once thought we would celebrate becomes ordinary and boring. And in some kind of way, it becomes just something we take for granted. That's what happens if we don't rest in God's presence and give him praise. How many of you know, the world doesn't really teach us appreciation. When you were looking through on this week, if you were looking through your Black Friday newspapers, some of y'all have that in the house, right? If you were looking through all the deals and stuff like that, what it doesn't say at the top of it is, be thankful for everything that you have and be satisfied in that. It doesn't say that. The world doesn't teach us appreciation, right? What does the world teach us? It teaches us that if you want to be happy, you need this next new thing. You need bigger, better, newer, more. The problem with more, though, is more is never enough. There's always more required. And so think about this. There's a lot of memes about this out there, but think about how funny this is. That one day, we take one day where we're going to celebrate God. We're going to thank him for everything that we've done. But one day after we do that, there's this like fake holiday that's been created, right? Called Black Friday, right? And it's not evil or anything like that. But it's just interesting. We're at one day after thanking God for everything we have, all of a sudden we're at the mall, we're fighting people for the movie or the TV that we thought that we really need to have next, right? And it's just this spirit of like, you know, always you see this, like, man, there's like some blood that's happening. You know, it's crazy. Maybe for you, you're an online shopper. Praise God. That's great. But sometimes we're buried in the Amazon, you know, website, trying to figure out everything that we need to have next. And I realized this year I kind of got trapped into this, sucked into this. Nobody made me. But, you know, we're celebrating Thanksgiving, and, man, the food was incredible. The fellowship was great. That's a church word, you know. You know, the community, it was fun connecting with family and stuff like that. But anyway, we're having a great time. We're so thankful. I'm looking around. I'm thinking, man, my family's awesome. Like, God, you knocked it out of the park with my wife. Good job. You know, like all these things. And then all of a sudden I saw these magazines laying there. And it was almost like did some demon brought them in or something, you know this, where it's like I'm trying to be thankful And yet there's all these sales, doorbuster sales you need to have. And there's these TV, you know, for guys, it's usually the big stuff. It's usually like, man, there's this electronic thing. You know, it's usually like, for me, I'm like, man, the flat screen TVs, that looks good. How much of a deal can I get? I started to kind of, in my mind, I was circling all the things that I didn't even want before. I was trying to be thankful in this one day, but here I am in my mind circling everything that I don't really need. And it's almost like, I wonder if God sometimes in our lives wants to like put a magazine together of everything that we've already been given and give it to us so that we can circle the things and the blessings that he's already put in our life. And we can turn back and we can say, God, thank you for these. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Not just the stuff, but for the blessings you're bringing in my life. See, here's the thing. The Apostle Paul, this is harder to live out. Like, how do we praise God and stuff like that? The Apostle Paul gives us some practical steps in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 of how we can be thankful and how we can be joyful in our lives. Here's what it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting verse 16. He says this, rejoice always. Well, what if I have a bad day, right? What if like things don't go well right now? What if like I'm not where I want to be? He says, rejoice always. Then he says, pray continually. That's the abiding. That's the in his presence, remaining in God's presence. So rejoice always. Pray continually. In other words, stay connected with God. Then he says this, give thanks in all circumstances. So you mean like for better or worse? You mean like in the good seasons and the bad seasons? Like, God, I don't know if I can thank you for being where I am here because this is a bad place. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Because here's the thing, even the things that are bad in our lives that we take for granted, God can even use those things to grow us in our faith, can make us the people that we are. Not that those things are good things, but God, we can give thanks in all circumstances. Not because of our circumstances, but because regardless of our circumstances, we have a God who stands with us and is able to show us his grace in the middle of that. So he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. In Christ Jesus. It's who he made us to be. And that's the joy. That's the secret of happiness. It's not about just attaining more in our lives. It's about remaining in God's presence. And thanking God for even the little things that he's given us. That's what it means to be happy. And so it's if you think about it, Paul is saying gratitude is a choice. It's a decision. Now, we can't choose all of our circumstances. We can't manipulate everything around us, but what we can decide is to be thankful. Gratitude is a decision. We can wake up every day, regardless of the situation, and we can choose to rejoice always and to give thanks in everything. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. And so what if this week, what if you decided every single day that you were going to take some time, whenever it is in your day, to pause and to start counting the different things that God is doing even that day? And you turn back your praise to God in the middle of that. I mean, it could be like before you start your day, you think of what God's been doing. Maybe as you end your day, maybe you're driving home, you just start kind of, instead of turning on the radio or whatever, you can kind of think, God, what did you do today? Thank you for that meeting that I had. Thank you for that, you know, thank you for that I have roof over my head. Thank you for my family. And what I do oftentimes in my car, I'll sometimes do this when I'm feeling discouraged. I'll start naming the blessings of God in my life to remind me of the goodness of God in my life. And I'll turn on the radio, and it'll usually be, you know, I'll turn on some kind of Christian radio thing, and I'll start worshiping God in light of all of that. This is how joy increases in our lives. So it's one of those things where when we often take for granted what God's been doing along the way. And if we don't praise God, then in our lives, we inevitably become bitter. We become ungrateful, and we start to lose our joy along the way. So here's how the story continues. They got the warning of God. You know, here, Moses is saying, hey, this is, you're going to graduate in gratitude. I want you to remember this. And so we get to Exodus chapter 32. And it's interesting because the people of God forgot what Moses had been saying. He forgot the warning that Moses had given. Because here Moses is, he's standing on Mount Sinai. He was standing in the presence of God, and God was giving him the law, the instruction of how to know God and how to follow God. And as he's receiving that, you kind of get this picture. He's with Moses, and Moses was a prophet. Other prophets spoke to God, but it says in the Bible that Moses was a prophet that spoke to God face to face.
And so here Moses is with God, receiving the blessing of God. And yet the people are down on the hill. They're waiting on Moses. They're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting for another blessing to come down. And finally, they got sick and tired of waiting. They started tapping their feet and they started saying, well, where's that Moses guy? And where's this God that supposedly cares about us? And they decided, you know what? We're going to take matters into our own hands. We're going to create our own God, a God that can give us everything we want. And so they started taking off all their gold jewelry and they melted them into a pot and they started to form this golden calf. And with this golden calf that was formed out of their own hands and with their own resources, just out of their stuff, Aaron, Moses' brother, lifted up the golden calf and he says something crazy. He says to the people, he says, look, Israel, this is your God, Israel, who brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. And everybody around them, all the people who God had been taking along the way, they started bowing down and worshiping this golden calf made out of their hands. It's like, are you kidding me? Do you not forget what God has been doing? Do you not forget? Do you not realize like God is giving you one of the greatest blessings that you can't even see right now on the mountain? But here they were. They lost sight of the presence of God in their lives. And they forgot to thank God for everything that God had been doing. And so they became resentful. They became resentful of what they had. They became forgetful of what the Lord had done. And they got impatient, wanting God to just pop out another blessing in their life. And so this is what happens when we forget about God's presence. If we don't thank God for what he's done, we start to walk around feeling this spirit of entitlement. God, I deserve this. I deserve better than what you're giving me. Or on the other hand, we start to feel, you know, resentful. Like, God, why didn't you give me, like, why didn't you give me even more? And so this is why God had seen all this happening. God had watched this. He's speaking to Moses face to face. I'm giving you the law so you can give it to the people. And God sees these people holding up this golden fake God and saying, this is the one who did this. And God essentially says to Moses, Andy Lett translation, he basically says, look, Moses, you're welcome to walk to the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you. I mean, I've walked with you this whole way, but I'm not going with you. Because you're leading an ungrateful people. They don't even care about me. And so in the middle of this, it's almost like a child begging in a toy store. All they want is another blessing, and they don't care about my presence. And so in the middle of this, this is what happens. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Exodus 33, verse 12. It says this, Moses said to the Lord, he's trying to redeem this. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, says the Lord, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. So he's pleading to God, God, give us another chance. Like, God, I don't know how to lead these people. I know they've gone astray. I know we've messed up. I know that we've forgotten about you, but God, the blessings in our lives are not a substitute for your presence. We need you, God. We're lost without you. We need your presence in our lives. We just want to know you. See this yearning that Moses has. And here's what happens next. Verse 14, here's how God responds. He says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you, there's that word, rest. Give you rest in my presence. Verse 15 says, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. He's reiterating this thing. We need your presence. Verse 16, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked. Because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. See, Moses knew that it doesn't matter if God takes it. It doesn't matter if we travel to the promised land, if we miss the presence of God. Because the land isn't what's so great. What's so great is that it's God who led us there, and it's his presence that's with us. See, here's what God wants us to do. God wants us to love the Lord and to enjoy his presence more than the blessings that he gives us. See, to be satisfied in God and to be thankful for everything that God has given us. Because without his presence, without his love, any blessing we receive is just a thing. But God pours in, God blesses us for the purpose so that we can know him, so that we can love him, and we can respond to that love. And so he's basically saying, hey, what's if your presence isn't with us, then we're not like any other people. Nothing distinguishes us. And so I believe that the church should be like this in our lives. I mean, I believe that the church should be the best at praising God and showing gratitude. And really, we should be continually thankful for our life, for every breath, for every sunshine, for every opportunity, for every relationship. Be thankful for God's character, for his power, and for his mercy, and for his love, and for his presence, for his free grace that's given to us. For as James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So let's remember in this season, not just in this season, but every season, let's remember to pause, to turn heavenward, and to remember the importance of directing our praise to God so that we can be joyful and thankful in everything. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you do. God, we can never, ever, ever count all those 10,000 or a million or 2 million reasons that we have to be thankful that we even just sang about. God, we are so grateful, not just for the blessings you put in our lives, but most of all, God, we're thankful for your presence. So God, today I pray that you would help us to rest in your presence, to rest in your love and in your grace, to experience your power that's among us. God, in so many ways, like, If we have all the blessings in the world, but we don't have you, we have nothing. And so God, today, for some of us, there may be things that we're just waiting on that next thing to come along, that next blessing, that next stage. God, I pray you would speak to us, you would encourage us to learn how to be satisfied in you, to be thankful in every circumstance, in every situation, even right now, so that God, when you take us to that place that we always wanted to be, then we'll find that we're satisfied, not because we're there, but we're satisfied in you. Help us to be thankful. Let your praise always be on our lips. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.